Friends, as we gather here week by week, we are called to remember that the Lord our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Please be seated. We're going to join now in a hymn together, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 God, O Lord.
A very warm welcome to you this morning. It's great to have you with us in person here at Scots Church in the heart of Melbourne. Welcome to those who are joining us via live streaming online through YouTube. And it's interesting, just for those gathered here, to know that almost the same number of people join us on live stream every week. So we do acknowledge you too. Please do drop us an email if you're watching online and give us your comments. It'd be good to hear from you. Now, if you are new to Scots in person, please take a moment to introduce yourself on the card you will have received on the way in. Scan it or fill it in the old way and leave it at the front desk. We would love to make you welcome and keep you in touch with church life here at Scots. And a reminder that everyone is welcome to join us afterwards for a cuppa and a chat on the mezzanine floor in the Westpac building immediately behind me. Now, this is important. Our Tuesday night small groups restart this Tuesday with Discipleship Explored. There's a light meal from 6:30 p.m. It's upstairs in the Assembly Hall building next door. And Justin, who is our preacher today, would love to give you more details after the service if you haven't been along before. A reminder too, parents or upcoming parents, next Sunday, a brief social after church to speak with our next generation's pastor, Arthur, and he would love to give you more details of that after the service too. Finally, tonight at 5 p.m, Reverend Dr. Murray Capel from the Reformed Theological College is our guest preacher at Scots City. That's our next generation service that happens in the building next door, 5 p.m. From next Sunday, Arthur begins a four-week preaching series on Proverbs in both morning and evening services, so something to look forward to. Let's join in our next hymn. You can follow in the order of service.
Let us pray. O Lord, you are holy. You are God. And so we bless your name today. The psalmist says he blessed your name, that with his soul and all that is within him, he came to you in praise and thanksgiving to magnify you as great God and King. And so this day we praise you. We think on your benefits and shout for joy. We feel your goodness and exalt your name. Lord, we ask that the goodness of you yourself would raise up the downcast, and the brokenhearted. That anyone who has entered here today, who has come to you in whatever way they can, would be lifted up by the great knowledge given in Jesus Christ. The one who forgives iniquity, heals all diseases, redeems life from the brink of death. The one who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. Lord, satisfy us with good in Christ. Quiet the troubled soul. Enliven the lifeless. Give us a new vision of you this day through the merits of Christ our Lord. So we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Kids Church will resume next week. Thank you for those who have been in touch about the gathering of parents afterwards. So we'll have Kids Church as normal, and then at noon or whenever you would normally collect your children, I've invited parents to stay around. And that's also for people who are expecting to be parents as well. So please do get in touch with me if for some reason you don't, and on the day next week you want to show up, please show up. I'd be delighted by that as well. During our next hymn, we're going to take up an offering. Financial partnership is one of the many ways to partner with this church and with our ministry here in the city and for God's world. Let's sing, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory."
Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, who for our salvation emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and on the third day he rose again. Thank you, for it is by your grace we have been saved, through faith, not from ourselves and not by works. Thank you for the faithfulness of Scott's ministry team, Phil Campbell, Arthur Kiefer, Justin Ang, and Letha Schussis. Thank you for Douglas Lawrence and the choir. Thank you for Grace and Buonica in children's ministry. Thank you for the elders, administrative staff, and volunteers. Thank you for our mission partners in Zimbabwe, Japan, Spain, and the Presbyterian Inland Mission. We pray, Lord, that all would receive strength and peace, work with cheerful hearts, caring for others, and united in your service. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of NAIDOC week, we ask that Australians from all backgrounds are increasingly aware and respect and appreciate the rich history, culture, and achievements of First Nations Australians, not only for 1 week, but throughout the year. We pray, Lord, for your peace and that surpasses all understanding for the whole world, especially in regions going through war and destruction in the Middle East, Ukraine, Myanmar, and other countries. We pray for political stability in the United States. We pray for the leaders of our city, our state, and the Commonwealth to have hearts that would turn to you and your word. We pray for those in aged care no longer able to attend church, Lindsay Ballantyne, Yvonne Sullivan, Ray Anstey, Jill and Jacqueline McGillicuddy, and others. We pray for strength and healing for Wayne and Anne Trung, Ruth Barth, and Richard O'Brien. We pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and healing for those who are struggling with mental health issues. And now, gracious Father, please accept our financial worship and help us use the funds to help people in need and spread your kingdom by spreading the good news of Jesus in the CBD and beyond. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Strange people. Judah was his saint.
This morning's second Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 3 to 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Loris. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word this morning, may it speak to our hearts, to our souls, that we may remember all your benefits to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you deal with life's challenges? It doesn't matter what they are. They could be big or they could be small. The book of Psalms shows us examples of what we are to do with life's challenges. There's praise, there's lament, which we learned earlier this year. Today we're looking at Psalm 103, and we're taught the importance of remembering God, remembering his benefits to us in the midst of our challenges. In fact, through all of life, we are to remember God's benefits. When we remember and when we learn to remember God and what he's done for us, it changes everything. It changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we look at life. That's what we're going to see in Psalm 103. We're going to look at 3 points today. Firstly, why we need to remember. Secondly, how we remember. And thirdly, what we need to remember, why we need to remember, how to remember, and what to remember. Let's look at that first point. Why we need to remember what God has done for us. Let's look at the passage. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, when you read the Psalms, you might notice that there are verses which are split over two lines. You see it in verse 2. And in Hebrew poetry, it's called parallelism. Talk about throwing back to English classes. There's a pattern where the first line of the verse parallels the second line in the verse. Look at the first line of verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David is talking to himself here. David is talking to himself about giving thanks, praising the Lord. But how do you do that? Well, that's answered in the second half of verse 2. David gives thanks to the Lord by not forgetting all his benefits, by remembering what God has done. He knows that it's important to remember what God has done for him, because he's prone to forget. In fact, the word forget that David uses here comes up in other psalms. For example, in Psalm 106, the psalmist uses the same word, but they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. Now, the psalmist here is looking back, at his forefathers, to the Israelites, as they were called out of Egypt. His forefathers saw firsthand what God had done, how he had saved Israel from Pharaoh. And notice the parallel lines. On the one hand, the Israelites forgot all that God had done for them. And as a result of forgetting, they did not wait for his counsel. They forgot God, and so they did not trust him. The Israelites are a reflection of human nature. The Bible says that humans forget. We forget the good, and we tend to remember the bad. But more seriously, our hearts forget God. We forget him, and because of that, we don't trust God. I read a book recently where an author told the story of when he was around 10 years old. And like some boys, he was a bit of a firebug. And he wanted to start a fire in the backyard. So he was out there laying out the leaves and the twigs. And his mother was looking out the kitchen window. And she knew exactly what he was doing. So she comes rushing out and throws water on the pile of leaves. The boy is furious, and he speaks some very angry and very rude words to his mum. But he forgot one simple truth, that his father was standing there right behind him. And his father calmly but firmly says, "What was it that you said to your mother?" Uh-oh. And the author asked, would it have made a difference if he had not forgotten that his father was standing there right behind him? Of course not. Of course. He wouldn't have said those words. If he had remembered that his father was behind him, it would have made all the difference to the way that he reacted to his mom. In the same way, what happens when we forget God, what he's done for us? If we forget that God is in control, then we might take matters into our own hands. If we forget that God knows us, we might become filled with anxiety and fear or anger or depression. If we forget that God loves us, then we'll think that he doesn't have our best interests at heart. But what if we remember the times we experienced God's love personally? If we were to remember God's love, we might not be so fearful. If we knew God's love, we would learn to love even our enemies. That we would learn to forget what others might think about us. What if we remembered that God was in control? That he's got the whole world in his hands. We might learn to trust him in situations that are out of our control. What if we remembered that God knew and desired our best? Then we would have peace, that we would have joy. Brothers and sisters, knowing God and his benefits makes all the difference in the world. It's why remembering is one of the most important aspects in our relationship with him. Remembering changes us from the inside out. So, how do we remember God's benefits to us? This is the second point. Look again at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Notice who he's talking to. He's not speaking to God. He's not speaking to anyone else. He's speaking to himself. He's talking to his soul. In fact, he's meditating on God's truths here. He's thinking about God and what he has done for him. In fact, this whole psalm is a meditation, where David is meditating on God's truth. Look at the last three verses, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you notice how similar the opening of this psalm is to the closing of this psalm? And often you see this in psalms, a sandwich construction. In Western culture, when you want to make a point, you often make it last. But in Hebrew poetry, the critical verse, the critical message is often the middle of the poem rather than at the end. And so what the whole of Psalm 103 is about is meditation. David is meditating. He is bringing to mind, he's chewing over, he's dwelling on God's benefits. Notice that it's not what you might call mindfulness today. There's all sorts of definitions of mindfulness, but one form of mindfulness is clearing your mind, emptying it. But David here isn't emptying his mind of everything, is he? But filling himself with what God has done. He reminds himself of God's benefits. He builds on it. Look at verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice the way that he's talking to himself. Notice the pronouns, your and you. He speaks to himself about five truths, each one building on each other. It's like he's preaching to himself. He's saying this, soul, remember he has forgiven you all your misdeeds. Soul, remember he is the one who has healed you. Soul, remember he is the one who has come to your rescue. That no matter the threat, no matter the crisis, he is the one who can rescue. Soul, remember, he is the one who blesses you beyond your imagination. He is the one who crowns you, soul, with steadfast love. And notice the conversation he's having with his soul. Look at verse 15. David remembers how short life is. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. What's he doing there? He's applying it to his own heart. He remembers that life is short, how frail he is. He's listening to his heart and acknowledging what his heart is saying. And notice how he responds to it. He doesn't just say, oh, David, just get over it. Or David, just stop feeling. No. He's reflecting on what's going on in his heart. He's paying attention to his heart, and then he speaks to his heart. Look, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He's bringing home truths to his soul. He's saying, soul, you know life is fragile. You know life is short. But your heavenly Father knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows that you are weak. He knows that you are fragile. He knows that you are dust. Dust isn't strong. Dust can't stand firm. Dust doesn't fight well. And yet, soul, remember, he treats you with compassion. He treats you like a father treats his child with compassion. Perhaps I can give you a personal example of this. Two Sundays ago, I woke up with a pain in my leg just before service, and it didn't go away. You might have noticed that as I was walking around, I was limping. Rachel sent me, wisely, sent me to the doctor. She is my better half. And the doctor diagnoses me with gout. And I'm like, what? Someone from this congregation, I'll name her, it's Loris. Loris, who has better sense. Loris, who read the Bible. Loris, who has better sense, told me that it's not gout. Rather that I tore my Achilles tendon. And Rachel said cheekily, it must be old age. And I'm turning 40 soon. But as I reflect on that, it got me a little down. Wow, I'm getting older. I realize that my body isn't working as it's supposed to. But as I reflected on this psalm, I've had to acknowledge how short my life is. I'm here one day and I'm gone the next. But I've had to work the truth to my heart, into my heart, to say to myself, Justin, God knows you. Justin, God knows your frailty, and he still loves you. He is a father to you, Justin, who has compassion on you. And I had to work it into my heart like I might work a piece of dough. Knead the truth into my heart. And it's taken time, but over time it's warmed my heart, it's set my heart on fire. What would it look like if you were to meditate on God's benefits in the same way that David does? Now, what truth do you need to bring home to your heart, to knead it down into your soul, to speak to yourself, to muse on these truths, to work God's benefits into your soul, to press them deep until your heart is warmed? So what is it that we need to remember? This is our final point. I've talked about God's benefits to us, but I haven't been very specific. What we need to do is meditate on the benefits that God gives us through Jesus Christ. Because there's a moment that David breaks out to say something that doesn't seem to fit within the psalm. And maybe you've noticed it. Do you see it? Verse 7 and verse 8. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. It's a direct quote from Exodus 34. After God has saved the Israelites out of Egypt, and Moses has led the people up to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to the mountain to speak to God. And the Lord passes before Moses, proclaiming these words, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Here, David is remembering what God ultimately did as he saved Israel out of Egypt. The defining moment for the nation of Israel as they're brought out of slavery. What God did for us in the Exodus, that is going to be my guiding light, says David. And in the same way for us today, what is our guiding light? What is it that we are to meditate on? Here's the truth. We need to meditate on the gospel. We need to never forget what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because when we remember what Christ has done on the cross, we'll see it's the fulfillment of this psalm. Look at verses 9 to 12. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him, as far as the east is from the west. so far does he remove our transgressions from us. On the cross, we see the ultimate sign that God does not keep his anger forever, that he punished our trespasses and our guilt without punishing us. And he did that by placing it on his son, Jesus. When we remember Jesus, we ultimately see God's steadfast love. And that is what we remember as God's benefits to us. It's why Loris read out Ephesians 1. Because Paul the Apostle, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, is reminding us about all the benefits that have been given to you and to me. Paul is reminding you that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, that you have been adopted into the family of God, that you have been saved from death and sin, that you have been redeemed from the pit, so that nothing will separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. As you journey through life, brothers and sisters, as you experience God, the good and bad days, meditate on these truths. Meditate on the gospel. Work them into your heart. Work them into your soul, that your heart may be warmed, because it will make all the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks. We bless your name because of all your benefits. We forget not what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has saved us from sin and death, from our trespasses, and he has given us new life. Father, please give us the strength that we may work these truths into our souls, that we may give thanks, that we may live for you and you alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Thanks for joining us today. Please join us for refreshments over at the Westpac building. As a reminder, small groups start this Tuesday. If you want more information, please speak to me. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.